Welcome back to Gemara Tainas Learning Today, Daf 16, Daf Tes Zion, learning to the merit of the hostages, the soldiers, Eretz Yisrael, everyone should be safe, come home safely, and emerge victorious. We left off at the end of the long Mishnah. Pick up the Gemara, really, it's actually like a little longer than I thought, and like 15 lines up, on Tezvav on the base. Gemara says, Seder Tainas Ketzer Motzines Hakeva. So the Mishnah stated the procedure of the Tainas, and it begins, they take the Aron Kodesh out to the street. So Gemara wants to know, is this taking place on all the Tainuses, meaning the first three, the next three, and then the last seven, or just the last seven? Or a minute. Shlos Tainus Shanos Shneos. We have a braise that says the first and second of the three fast, Nitz and Lesek Nesses. They enter the synagogue and respond to the Darash Baal called Shana Kula, and they daven the way they daven all year round. It's only on the seventh that they bring the Teva to the city square. Then, no saying Afer al Gabe Teva, and they place the dust on the ark of Rosh Nasi, Rosh Abezdin, while Echvech and Notel Nos Marosho. We also know Afer Mukla Ahain Mivin, that they, and then the Nasi, the leader, and the Abezdin put ash on their head, and everyone else put ash on their own heads, and everyone else says they use burnt ashes. What do we see from here? We see from here, it's clearly only the last set. Our Papa Kitna and I'm missing. So our Mishnah said it as well, although it didn't say explicitly, it's also talking about Asheva Achronis Nine. It's talking about the last set of seven that this whole procedure takes place. Rosh Nasi. The Mishnah says it takes place in the head of the Nasi. Baratani Kol Echav Echav Notel Brosh. It says subsequent to that, everyone takes ash and places on their own head. So again, ash is placed in the head of the Nasi and the Avbezdin, and subsequent to that, everyone places on their own head. Inning, is this really so? But not Tani. We learned in a Brice or Mayor Omer, but Gedolah Matchin Gedol. Whenever we deal with something that's of prominence, we begin with the most prominent person, we work down to the more lowly people. But when you have something of a cursing, of misfortune, we begin with the least prominent person and move upwards. So why we begin with a Nasi? We should begin with the simple Amarits first, and only last the Nasi should put on. So Begdol, and how do I know this? Begdol Matzlim and Agadol, in a place of Gdula, of greatness, we begin with the most prominent, Shnemar, Viomer Moshe El Aaron Ulazar Yisamar. It says, and Moshe said to Aaron, Elazar and Yisamar. Again, we give presents to Aaron over his sons. And how do I know that misfortune begin with the lowly ones? Because first the snake gets cursed, and only after Chav and then Adam. So based off this, why then is the, are we begin with the Nasi? We should begin, he should get the last one to get ash put on his head. So Ha-Chashuv L'Didei Darmalei, Itu Chashivus L'Mebe Alan Rach Me'akula Amba. So the answer is as follows. Although this is a moment of misfortune, the reason we are choosing Nasi first is out of distinction for him, because we say you are different and separate among us because you can daven for us in a way that we can and that we're going to be answered. So we're singling him out because of their greatness to do something in a case, in a scenario of misfortune, but we're signaling them out for greatness, therefore it goes first. And everyone placed on their head. Let's let the Nasi and the Av Bezdin put out the ash on their head as well. Place it on their own heads. Why do we need to? Why do we need someone else to put it on their head? Whereas everyone else plays. I mean, why is everyone placing on their own heads? Whereas the Nasi, someone has to put it on his head. Why can't we have him put it on his own head? Turns to the top of the page. Because being humiliated by someone else versus being humiliated by yourself is much worse. And we're trying to cause a bit of humiliation here, so they daven in with real sincerity. And where they place the ashes? Amar Rav Yitzchak, Makan Tefillin, the place of Tefillin, goes Shnemar L'Shum La'Avli Tzion L'Seis Lahem Pe'er Tachas Eifer, because it says to establish the morning Zion, to give them beauty in the place of ashes. And Pe'er is always a beauty, splendor is always the way we refer to Tefillin. Okay. Rochov Teva V'Shakim Eifer Kvuro Umar Simon. So I'm not advised to remember the following series of prices. Lama Yotzes Rochov. Why do we go to the town square? Chiyav Rabba Omar Lomar Zaku Betzina. Chiyav Rabba says, because what we're saying is, look, we cried out in the privacy of our shuls. Vlana didn't answer. Nivzet Atzmina Befarhasio. So let's humiliate ourselves in public. Let's go out in public. Maybe we'll be answered. Rishakosh Omar Galino Galsenu Mikaparas Aleinu. We say, look, we've been exiled from our shul. Let the exile atone for us. My, but now what is the nafka mina? The difference between these two answers? Yikunah the Gali and Bekanishta Libekanishta. Can you go to a different shul? If it's about humiliating yourself, no. But if it's about going to exile, so now you're in a new place. Point is, we're trying to shake things up a little bit so that we get answered. Why do we bring the Aron Kodesh out to the city square? So we know why you go out there. Why do you bring the Aron with you? Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Lomar, called Tsnua Halilanu, Benizbazibab, and Zenu. We had a private vessel, as in the ark is private, and we degraded it by bringing it to, as a result of our transgressions, we degraded it. Look how bad things are. We really need to do tshuva. Okay. Why do we dress in sackcloth? Because we say we're considered like animals. Meaning to say an animal is all covered in hair, so we cover ourselves in this hairy sackcloth and say we're like animals. Meaning to say as follows, we say, God, look, the animals don't do anything to deserve your mercy. Get your mercy, you show your mercy on all animals. So too show mercy on us, even though we don't deserve it. Why do you place ashes on the ark? God says, I am with you in your distress. In every distress, he is in distress. Meaning to say, seemingly, if I understand this correctly, we're trying to demonstrate here that God is just as pained as we are, that we are in pain, which is a very powerful statement. He goes, when I first saw this, the rabbis are placing ashes in the ark, and it symbolizes that God is saying, look, I'm with you in your distress. My entire body trembled. Why does everyone put ash in their own head? Some say we're considered before you like ashes. You say to God, remember the ashes of Yitzhak. Now, what's the difference between whether it's in remembrance of the ashes of Yitzhak and trying to invoke that sort of divine mercy versus just us saying, look, we're worth nothing. We're offer of Afer. Ikwanai offers Dom. Can you use dirt or do you have to use burnt ash? So if it's about Yitzhak, you can use burnt ash. Where if it's about saying, look, I'm offer of Afer, I'm nothing, so you can use dirt as well. Lama Yotzin Lebe Sekvarish, why do you go out to a cemetery? The cost of a fast is to go to a cemetery. Pligibar Levi Barcham Rav Chanina. Some say we say to God, look, we're compared before you, like we're corpses, we're nothing, and that maybe creates a sense of humbleness and feebleness and causes us to really do tshuva. So the deceased, see us and beg for mercy on our behalf. What's the difference between these two? So going to a non-Jewish cemetery of idolaters, if it's about just reminding of their own mortality to humble us, then any basic kafaris works. Whereas if it's about them davening for us, that there has to be Jewish graves nearby. My Harah Maria, what's Mount Moriah? Bligibar of Levi bar Chama bar Chanina. It's Machlokas. Chadam Hari Shiyotzim Menu Harah Yisrael, the mountain where the Torah instruction went out to the Jewish people. As the Kibbutzion Tei Tzora, Dvar Hashem Yerushalayim. That is, it's the it's Har Bayis. That's again where the Bez and Agudel sat, the great court sat. Chadam Bar Har Shiyotzim Menu Mor Lo Bdikavna, that mountain where which caused fear to go out among all the idolaters. Okay, what's the idea behind there? So that could be Har Sinai, where we, you know, God said, don't worship me. It's interesting, by the way, Tosus points out here that some places Yerushalayim is called Moria, yet he says Avram calls this mountain Har Hashem Yireh, the mount where Hashem saw, and elsewhere Har Malkitzedek calls it Yerushalayim. So what do? We basically did an amalgamation of these words. Avram called it Har Hashem Yireh, Yireh to see, whereas Malkitzedek called it Shalem. So we put the two words together and get Yerushalayim, because we know it's a city of peace, and therefore we even in the word itself we made peace between Avram and Malkitzedek. Great. Hazakat Bim Omer Lefnei Divrei Kavushin. So then the elder among them says words to of Musar among them to chastise them. Tanur Banan. If there's an elder present, then a scholar says it. Then a man of stature says it. It's a man of stature. It's going to be someone who's wealthy, someone who's accomplished in business, someone who's a scholar, someone who's not a Torah scholar, but knows a little bit of Torah. Point is, that's the order. So Gemara says, so you're telling me that a elder person comes before a scholar who's young? Here's the progression. They're here, the hierarchy. If you have an elder person who's a scholar, they come first. If not, have a young scholar address them. If not, have a person of stature address them. And what do they say? Our brothers, it's not the sackcloth and fasting. The external actions are going to cause our prayers to be answered. Rather, repentance and good deeds cause our prayers to be answered. Because we find with regards to Nineveh, because God says that by them, God didn't see their sackcloth and ashes and fasting. God saw their deeds and saw they repented from their evil ways. Okay. It says in Yonah that the king of Nineveh tells the people, Kasu sakim ad behema. Let the people and the animals be covered with sackcloth. What do they do? They tie the mother separately from the rest of the offspring. If you don't have mercy on us, we will not have mercy on these things. I'm not totally clear what this means. This is like you're testing God, or you're telling God, you're giving, you're conditioning things on God, you're threatening God. It seems to be, or it's some sort of praying, is we say to God, look, God, we know you're going to have mercy on these animals. As it says, we just said, God is mercy on all his creations. So just as you're going to have mercy on these animals, we're, you know, basically have mercy on us. Okay. And let them call out to God with strength. My Amrus, this again, talk about the king says to the people of Nineveh. What do they say? One is suffering and one is long-suffering and one is quick-tempered. Sad rush is one righteous and one is wicked. Me nidchem pay me. Who yields for who? By Yeshuvu. Okay, fine. By Yeshuvu ish midarka rav umina chamas asher b'chapeim. Let each man repent from his evil ways and from the robbery that is in their hands. Well, my uma chamas asher b'chapeim. What does it mean, the robbery in their hands? Amr Shmuel, I feel gazel meirish ubona bebira. So, quick little background for this. The halacha is, if I steal a beam from someone, or a stick from someone, or a rock from someone, and I build into my house, I don't have to destroy my house in order to get the beam out and return the beam. Although normally we say return what you stole, but in this case, it's called kanas meirish. We don't have to, because then people will never return anything. They realize I have to destroy my whole house. Rather, say give it monetary value. Here says the king of Nineveh, we're not enacting the kanas meirish. Rather, if you stole a beam, we're going to do real tshuva, destroy your whole palace in order to return the beam to its owner. Why? Because we really want to do full bona fide tshuva here. Omer of Adabarahava, Adam Shiesh, be able to a person who has the guilt of a sin, misvada, and confesses, ain't no chosuba, but doesn't retract. Meaning a person says, oh God, I feel so terrible, but they don't actually mean it. Lama Udam, what do they compare to? La others tofus cherit biyado, shafil tovo beho mayo. He's compared to a person. Again, a person who verbally repents and goes through all the motions, but doesn't actually do teshuva, doesn't retract from what they're doing. So they're compared to someone who goes into a mikvah and they're holding a dead sheret, and something that causes impurity. They can immerse in all the waters of the world, and the immersion is ineffective. Why? Because they're holding the thing in their hand. So a person, let's say, is holding something that's stolen in their hand. Like, I'm never going to steal. Wait, if you're holding it, you turn it first, and then say, I'm never going to steal. However, Zarkom Yadav, once he throws away the sheretz, as he throws away what he stole, as he really did tshuva, immediately, Kevin Shetavel of Arvasa, once he immersed himself in just a mere 40 saw of water, man also feel immediately the immersion is effective. Shenemar, Umodu Ba'ozavi Yirachim, one who confesses is, and forsakes his sins will be treated mercifully. Omer, Nasalavino Al Kapeim LL. Let us lift our hearts together with our hands to God in heaven. That is, once you actually do true bona fide tshuva, you're forgiven. But so long as you don't actually do tshuva, even if you go through the motions, so then it's like you're holding a dead body in your hand, you're going to the mikvah, it ain't going to help you. So again, what happens now is they go pray, they stand before the ark, the elder person stands there. Good. Even though there is someone who's present, who's an elder, who's a scholar, we also need someone who's experienced in the prayers. And now, once we're talking about someone's experience in prayers, let's go through a list. Meaning, we had the elder who admonishes everyone, but they're not the one who's going to daven necessarily until we have someone who's a real chazan. And once we mention that, let's mention a number of other attributes one needs in order to be a chazan. So, Rehud Omar, who talked about Ein Lo, he has small children with no means to support them, which the Gemara is going to explain why that is. It's going to say because if you have small children who can't support them, you're really going to daven very fervently. Basically, he has work in the field, so he really needs the rain. And his house is empty, which we're going to say is empty from sin. Or Perkon Na, and his youth was proper. Ushvacha Berach, and he's a humble person. And he's accepted among the people. Because they're appointing him to be their emissary. And he has ability, he has a sweet, beautiful voice. And he can actually read well. And he knows how to recite the various midrash and halachas and the gadas. And he knows all these blessings, especially these additional six blessings. Everyone heard this, they turned to Yitzchak Bar Ami, who said, look, you possess all these attributes, thus you should be the one to lead us. So again, it says he has small children, no means to support them, but also his house is empty. So which one is it? Is his house empty, or is he has no children, he has small children? I mean, his house is empty from sin. He's no sin in his house. Someone whose youth is pleasant, that is, he doesn't have a bad reputation from the youth. Because you know what happens? The guy shows up in town, like, now you think you're so holy? Don't you remember just 4 years ago, you were the guy that was tying everyone's talisman together? Okay. I say, nach lisib ka'ari bayar. The passing Yirmiyahu says, my inheritance was to me like a lion in the forest. Nostin lie, but call Alkane Sinasi. And he gave, she gave her voice against me, therefore I have hated her. My Nostin lie, call what does it mean she gave her voice against me? Amar Zutshabar Tovia, Amarav, Barmulay, Amarav, Cham, Amarav, Elazar, Zeshalat Sibra, Yor, Lom Neteva, Shayna Hogan. This refers to a Shalat Sibra goes to Davin, even though they're unfit to be a proper Shalat Sibra. God criticizes the Jewish people for this. Now, we know is you recite the typical 18 brachos, and you add on 6, thus you have full 24 brachos. Hani sheish, are there 6? Sheva habin, you're actually, there's 7. Kidit non, says the Mishnah, al shivus huomer brachum rachum al aretz, because the 7th blessing, you say, bless you Hashem, who has mercy on the land. So are there 6 or are there 7? Amar of Nachmi Yitzlak, my shivis al rucha. It's the 7th from the expanded versions, but it's only 6 of additional blessings. We need to say as follows, that when do we, and we'll see this in a minute, when do we add in these extra brachas, these extra 6? We add them in after Re'en Avion Yenu. We add them in after Re'en Avion Yenu, and we actually expand Re'en Avion Yenu to be a longer bracha. But it's still the regular Re'en Avion Yenu, it's still the regular bracha of redemption. Thus, we have 6 additional brachos, but we have 7 brachos that are elongated. 6 are the new ones, and 1 of the Gal Yisrael. Okay, Kiddush Nani, we looked at the Brisa, Gal Yisrael Marech, the bracha of the Redeemer of Israel, which I believe is Reign of Yanyenu, is expanded, right? That's also the Yanyenu Tfilah, which the Chazan says. Okay, Omer, what do you say? Afterwards they say Amen. Okay, Chazan says Omer Lehem, Tiku B'nei Aaron Tiku, and then the Chazan says, blow the shofar, blow the shofar, Chos Omer, we answer our fathers, the Yamsuf of the Sea of Reeds. Should answer us, Baruch Atah Hashem Zocher Nizkaras, one who remembers the forgotten. Zeon Acharav Amein Eretz Amein Chaz Nekneses Omer Lehem Tiku Hariyu Bnei Aaron Hariyu. Sound the Trua, Bechem Bechol Bracha Bracha. So do every Bracha Ki Achas Omer Tiku Achas Omer Hariyu. One, you switch off saying blow Tekiyah and then blow a Trua. B'Med Ramur. When is this? Big Vulan. This is only outside of the temple. But in the Mikdash, it's not so. We don't say Amen in the Mikdash. Rather, we say Baruch Shein Kumam Machasol Yalam in the Mikdash. How do we know we don't say Amen in the Mikdash? Kumu Baruchot Hashem Elokeichem in Aretz Olam. It says, rise up and bless Hashem, your God, from the world until the world. It's a pasuk. Fine. And then it says, Vayivaruchu Shem Kavod Umoram Al Kol Baruchu Tila. And then it says, in Nehemiah, and let them bless the name of your glory, exalted by every blessing and praise. You might have thought you only say Amen once and all the brachos. He exalted by every blessing and every praise. I'll call bracha tain latila. For every blessing, give him praise. Okay, and what's that praise? It's Baruch Shem Kamal Soli Olam Va'ed. Vel Mikdash Mount Omer. So what do you say in the Mikdash? Baruch Hashem, Elokei Yisrael, Mina Olam Va'ed Olam, Baruch Gol Yisrael. He includes the first blessing of blessed Hashem, God of Israel, from the world until the world blesses he, the Redeemer of Israel. But he no nachra baruch shem malchusol liolam v'ed. The Chazan says Omer, and the synagogue then says Tiko Kohanim bnei Aaron Tiko, blow the sons of Aaron, Kohanim sons of Aaron, blow the Tikiya. Close your Mishnah Naz Avram B'Gahar Maria Hu Yanes Chamil Yishma Kol Bchol Tzakas Muhayom Azeh. And Baruch Hashem Yisrael Zochar Nishkaros. V'huim on racha baruch shem malchusol liolam v'ed. Again, it's repetition just taking place in the temple. Once you do a tikkia, once you blow to ruah, I should go to school until you finish all of them. Did this in Sichini. When the sages found out that they patterned themselves after what was done in the temple, Amru, well, you know, Hagen ben Ella Bashar Mizrach Barabias. You only do this in the base of Migdash, you don't do it outside of the base of Migdash. Again, that's saying Baruch Shem Kamal Aksal Yalom Va'ed. Okay, basically, now the rest of this is all going to be a repetition we just said, just for quoting a little bit of a different version. This is talking about Katana. Some say the follows. Say 24 brachos. Shmon Esrei Shbuchol Yom. With most of Lehem, Oh Sheish. Vosin Sheish. Heichen Omrim. Ben Goal Rofei Cholei. Between the Redeemer and he who heals the sick. That's where we add him on. Umar Ha'ul. We expand the bracha of Geula. Vein On Nachar. Vamein Alkol Bracha Ubracha. V'chach Yenog Mekvulin. Av Mikdash Hein Omrim. Baruch Shein Gol Kei Yisrael. Min Olam Vat Olam. Baruch Gol Yisrael. Vein Omrim. Achar Vamein. V'chach V'chol Kach Lama. Okay. When I say no to Mikdash Nemar, Kuma Baruch Hashem, Lokem, Minaolabat, Baruch Hashem, Morum is called Bracha Utila, Akin Bracha, Bracha, Tain Latila. Again, it's basically called the same price as before. Just a little bit of a little slight nuance. Basically, it's saying the Mikdash as well. We only say Baruch Hashem, Kamakos Laved, whereas in the womb we say Amen. Okay. Tanur Rabban. I'm showing you Omar, Baruch Hashem, Lokem, Yisro, and Olabat, Olam, Baruch Al Yisro. The first one, that's the first blessing of Baruch Hashem, Lokem, Yisro.
And again, they blow the shofar. Again, this is all just repeating what we said a minute ago. Just again, just quoting a different brisa of how he switched off saying tiko and hario, blow the tikiyah, blow the hario, and just going through what was being said. They only do this in the Temple Mount that you say baruch shem k'malchusoli olam bed there. Okay, next. He says you don't say zifronos and shofros. Why not? My time, why do we not say zifronos and shofros on a regular fast day? She ends almost zifronos and shofros because he says we don't say zifronos and shofros. Ella, top of the page, Rosh Hashanah, Yovel, Bishas Mechamba, and Rosh Hashanah and Yovel, and during a time of war. Other than that, we don't say these specific things. I wish you all a wonderful day.